I have loved our Advent season, our Advent conspiracy. One of the things I love about Advent conspiracy is that we do it together. You may care about the poor, you might care about getting clean water to folks who need help, but as an individual, it's really hard to sometimes know what to do. But collectively, as a group, when we pool our resources, when we give generously to Living Water International, this church builds wells around the world, and that to me is super exciting. It is a tangible way that we help the needy and the poor around the world, and we've been doing it now for nearly a decade, and I love that we corporately do something together. The church is a corporate body. It is the body of Christ. And one of the ideas of a church getting together, gathering, is becoming a family, becoming one in Christ. And for years, I have kicked this idea around that I decided that I'm stupid enough to try with you all in 2019. For years, I have wanted to preach through the scriptures at like a 30,000-foot level and walk through the entire scriptures together. And with that, I wanted to pair together a Bible reading plan that we would all walk through together. What has kept me from doing it in past years is I've been a shepherd now for 17-plus years here, and another, I don't know, several years in Denver. And I don't know everything about being a shepherd, but I do know sheep. And I thought sheep will think this is a bad idea. It's a pastor slash dad joke. Sorry about that. And that's been the one thing that's kept me from just diving in. For years, I've kept my eye on resources and opportunities to do this, and I thought, you know what? It's just something you got to try. And I know that I need to make an argument for why this is a good idea. And so if you have a Bible with you today, I want you to grab it. Put your phone down, unless that's what your Bible's on. Grab your Bible and hold it in front of you like this, okay? Just hold it like this. This is the goal of this year-long experience. Are you ready? I want you just to open your Bible. That's the goal. To get you to open your Bible every day. To get you to open your Bible every day and to read from your Bible every day. The goal is not to read through the Bible. Now, some of you will give that a try. You will be, some of you, successful. Hopefully, many of you will be successful. It's a discipline that I have done for years now, and I love it. It's something I enjoy. I know that's weird to some of you. But that's the goal of this next year, to get you to get into your Bibles. Now, why do I think this is important? I want to make a case for why I think it's important. Well, you already have your Bible in front of you. Turn to Psalm 19. The book of Psalms is the Hebrew prayer book. It's been called the Hebrew gymnasium for prayer. And Psalm 19 has these powerful words starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The scriptures testify themselves as to the value of reading the Bible, of reading and meditating and contemplating the scriptures. And one of the things that I think is important for us to see in there, did you see that this book is said to be more precious than gold? I looked up what an ounce of gold currently is worth. $1,280 is the worth of 1 ounce of gold. And the scriptures claim that this is more precious than gold. To help you visualize this, I want you to think of the richest person you know. Not the richest person. We'd all think of Bezos, that guy who owns Amazon. But the richest person you personally know. You got that picture person pictured? There we go. Now, let's imagine that they send you a text message, and the text message says this: I have a large amount of, and it's over. That's all they sent you. This is the richest person you know, and they sent you a text: I have a large amount of. Are you getting back to them? Of what? Gold? That you want to give me? Right? I mean, this is the richest person you know. They're reaching out to you with a text message. That's all it says. The scriptures are the richest being in the universe. And that rich being in the universe, God, has decided to reveal himself to you and his will and how life works and how to be transformed and renewed and made a new person. And he has revealed that to you in the scriptures. He invites you to read. He invites you, as Augustine said, take up and read. Now, I think one of the reasons that we don't do this is because we perhaps don't understand the value of them. Jesus himself, though, talks about the value of the scriptures. He goes out into the wilderness and he's being tempted by Satan. And he has this interaction with the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. By the way, the Spirit doesn't always lead us places we'd like to go. Right? Do you see where the Spirit led Jesus? Wilderness, tempted by devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Highlight that in your Bible and say that's the biggest understatement in the Bible right there. 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. Give it a try. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Is that something Jesus could do? He can do that, right? He can turn stones into bread. Listen to how he responds. He doesn't go, hey, good idea, I am super hungry. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus Christ himself believed that the words of God are more important than food. Snack on that for a bit. Think about that. That Jesus Christ believes that what God says to us is more important than food. Now, we're having a baptism today, and you may have already started looking at the time and realizing, wow, Steve started early, so he's either going to go extra long or he's going to be kind and wrap it up shortly, and now I'm learning we have a baptism. Oh my gosh, we could be here forever, right? And the reason you want to get out of here is definitely not the Bronco game, right? I mean, that can't possibly be the reason. I mean, maybe there's another team you're excited to follow. I mean, maybe you care about, you know, the Raiders. If you do, the Catholic Church is available for you on Sunday mornings. Just saying. But It's probably because you will start to get this grumble in your tummy. And you want to be first at where everybody from our church apparently goes for lunch afterwards. You know, we all go to Riverside, Creek, whatever. We go out to eat, a lot of us. Not that any of us are struggling in that area. None of us have gone 40 days, 40 nights. Most of us look pretty well fed. It's been the holidays after all. We've probably been eating really well. Jesus says that rumbling in your tummy, that weakness you feel in your hands and your feet, and that lightheadedness you feel because you've gone without food, you could go longer, but you can't go without the Word of God. The Word of God is more important than eating. Why do you think God made it so we had to eat 3, 4, 5 times a day, or however often you do that, right? It's actually to give us insight into our spiritual lives, that we have to sustain our physical bodies, and in the same manner, we need to sustain our spiritual bodies. And Jesus teaches us that this is important. We need to sustain our spiritual bodies. Now, another reason I think this is important is that reading through the scriptures, opening your Bible every day in 2019 will place the responsibility of spiritual growth on the right, in the right place. You. You see, let's be honest. Many of us have come to depend upon the teaching we receive at church instead of opening our scriptures and reading them each day. We've come to depend on the teaching that we receive at church or perhaps in some YouTube video or some podcast we listen to. We've come to depend on those things to help us grow. And the reason you do that is because every Sunday I pretty much say, hey, grab your Bible and open it up and turn to XYZ. Then I go off and I say a bunch of things and I come back and say, hey, did I give you enough time to find it? And then I begin to talk about the text. Because we're about the Bible here. And that's good. But my responsibility is to feed you, help to feed you. But that's only one meal a week. So in case you're not getting the metaphors here, if this is the only meal you are going to eat next week spiritually, then fast all week until communion and lunch on Sunday. Fast all week long next week. And you'll get the analogy here that Jesus is building for us. You'll understand, wait a minute, I only ate once last week? I need to be fed more often? And so the goal of this series is not to read through the Bible. The goal of the series is to open the scriptures once a day, to read and meditate and reflect upon God's word yourself. I can't read the Bible for you. I can't do that for you. I can't make you grow. But I can offer you a meal each week. It's your responsibility to eat it, to feed yourself. And so this walking through the scriptures together, that's the fourth thing I like about it. It's something we're going to do together, corporately, each Sunday. In 2019, we're going to come together and I'm going to preach a 30,000-foot sermon on some text that we've looked at. So next Sunday, we're going to look at Genesis 1 through 3 in one sermon. And you're already thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be forever long. Remember, it's 30,000 feet. Remember that, Steve. It's 30,000 feet. And we're going to walk through that, and you will have already read those passages. You will already probably have some questions about what's going on in the text. You're already going to be going, I didn't understand that. I don't get that. And you could jot down some questions. I might answer some of those questions. I may not answer some of those questions. But what we're going to do is we're going to walk together through the scriptures. What if 2019 was a year of tremendous spiritual growth for all of us together? What if this was a year that instead of having good intentions, we actually came up with a plan and we worked the plan and we grow and we transform? You see, I'm convinced that if you will take on this, I cannot do that. I'm convinced if you will take on this challenge, you will grow, you will change, you will transform. It will change marriages, it will change parenting, it will change relationships at work, it'll change perhaps how you handle finances, it'll change your relationship to money, to stuff. It will change you. I guarantee that. If you will take time each day to open this and to read and to meditate, to reflect on God's word, it will change you. Well, I already know what some of you are thinking. You're in agreement. That's a bad idea. You're already thinking, I'm so busy. I don't know when I'm going to find time for this. How am I going to do this? I have all sorts of obligations. I have all sorts of things I've got to do every single day. Well, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to give you tools. But before we get to the tools, I did some math to help you out on this. The accountants in the room, check me on this. This Pew Bible here has 1,254 pages in it. Now, the math, if you divide that by 365 days, that's 3.43 pages per day. That's it. 3.4 pages per day. Now, I'm not good at figuring out what 0.43 is on a page, personally, because that sounds like a fraction, and I freaked out with fractions and decimals in school. Like, I still go, half of what? What's half? What, a fourth? What? Like, cooking, that's what throws me off, you know? It's like, I think that's a lot of pepper. Let's just toss it in there, right? And so, what if we rounded that up to 4 pages a day? Well, if you do 1,254 divided by 4, that's 313 days. There's 365 days in a year. You subtract 313 days. That gives you 52 days to goof off. You can slack off for almost 2 months and get this thing done. Wow, there's even grace in a Bible reading plan. Like, you can get a little behind and know that I've got some leeway. I've got some wiggle room. And remember, the goal isn't necessarily to read through the thing, though I'd encourage you to do so. The goal is to open up the Bible and get into it every single day. Was my math good, accountant people? Did that work? Okay. So, some of the tools we're going to give you. We have a reading plan. I didn't come up with it because I'm not that organized and smart. But there's this guy named Tim Mackey, and he was a pastor at a church called Black Hawk Church in Chicago, and now he lives in Portland, which is like the hipsterest town in America. And he and a buddy put together the group called the Bible Project. And the Bible Project, they put together these amazing videos. I've showed a couple of them. I showed the one on Amos. I've showed different ones that give an overview about books of the Bible. And one of the things that they've done is they've put together a reading plan. And it's simply called Read Scripture. It's the Read Scripture reading plan. And for those of you who are analog people and you like paper, we can print these out for you. Or you can go on your computer briefly, or you can have a young person help you print one of these out. The reason I'm saying that is because I made 8 of them, and then the toner on my printer died. So we can have more next Sunday, but the first happens Tuesday, and you're already going to eat up some of those 52 days of slack. So there's this Read Scripture reading plan. Looks like this. The cool thing about it is it actually follows the Tanakh. The Tanakh is a scripture organization that the Hebrew people use. And they organize their Bible a little differently than we do. And so you'll read it chronologically for a bit, and you'll read into the wisdom literature. And in fact, they made a video that I'm going to show because they'll explain it far better than me. Is that the next slide? I think so. Nope, that's not. Could you guys trigger the video slide for me, if you see it back there? Okay, sorry. It's amazing video. It's the coolest ever. It's 3 minutes long. I guess Jesus wants me to hurry. You can go on their website, and there's a couple of tools that we can give you. If you go to our church website, where did all the slides go? They're all changing on me here. They've disappeared. Ben, do you see slides? Go to the church website one. If you go to our church website, there's a page. It's called Eat This Book, because that's a catchy title and you'll remember. And if you click on that webpage, you're going to find the Eat This Book reading plan, the Read Scripture reading plan. And you can download a copy for yourself. You can print it out at home, because there's the type A people that want to have the whole thing in front of them and they want to know exactly what's going on. There's also some apps. So those of you who are digitally minded people, you have an iPad or a smartphone. There's a Read Scripture app. It's made by the same people who put the Read Scripture reading thing together. I have downloaded it on my phone. I've queued it up. It tells you, it asks you, what day do you want to start your plan on? I put down January 1st, 2019. It asks you, do you want to read at your own pace or do you want to read every single day? I picked, I want to read every day. And then every single day at 8 in the morning, it'll tell me, when do you want me to bother you on your phone to read your Bible? And guess what? It's been bugging me the last few days. Even though I told it I didn't want to start till January 1st, it's already been bugging me. That's how smart this thing is. Or dumb. Maybe that's stupid. I don't know. But it bothers me when I want to read my scriptures. And so I just click on the app. It opens up the reading to where I left off, and away I go. And one of the cool things with the Read Scripture app is that it's going to have include for you overviews, those little videos, the overviews of the book of the Bible that you're in. And it'll help you out, because reading the scriptures is weird. Reading the scriptures can be hard and difficult. And there's a couple reasons why that's true. One is it's written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, the originals. So people had to translate it into English. And then it was written a long time ago. So they do really weird things a long time ago. Think about a long time ago. They didn't have things like electricity. They didn't have things like indoor heating. They didn't have things like air conditioning. They didn't have ice makers. They didn't have a car. I mean, all sorts of things that we just take for granted. They didn't have. And so when we enter in and read our scriptures, there's things that will just kind of boggle our minds and be strange. And partly why this happens is because the Hebrew scriptures are meant to be read over and over again. They're actually designed by God to be something that you read over and over again. Time and time again, you come back and you read it again. And it's meant to be meditative literature. We're going to see more of that next week when we look at Genesis 1 through 3 on how they're working and functioning and why God did it the way he did. But if you go to our website, fccray.org, you can find the reading plans there. I'll have links on there as well to the Read Scripture website, where you can download the app for your phone if you want to do it that way. There's another thing, and I know some of you use this app. It's called YouVersion. And YouVersion has a reading plan that was created by Black Hawk Church and created by Tim Mackey, and it's called the Eat This Book reading plan. And if you already use YouVersion, you don't have to download another app. You can just go and find that reading plan, the Eat This Book reading plan, and you can queue it up, and each day it'll harass you. Time to open your Bible. Time to read it. Now, what I like about this reading plan is it's going to walk us through the scriptures, about 15, 20 minutes a day of reading. But every single day, it has a psalm. Every day it has a psalm. And if you are a person, maybe you're like thinking, I don't know if I can do the entire meal plan, right? I don't know if I can do the whole meal plan, like four chapters a day. I don't know if that can work for me. But I want you to at least open this thing up and read the psalm for the day. Pray the psalm for the day. Does anybody have a phone that has a stopwatch on it? Could somebody fire that thing up and time me? Yeah, I'll tell you when to start. Or you tell me when to start. I'm going to read Psalm 1. We're going to see how long this takes. Ready? Okay. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Stop. How long was it? 41 seconds. Now somebody look me in the eye and tell me you don't have 41 seconds a day. Some of you are going, yeah, but it was a short psalm. Yeah, you're right. It was a short psalm. There are longer ones. But if you could just open this thing up and you could read through a psalm each day, you can meditate on God's word. It's more precious than gold. It will transform you. It'll change you. Jesus says it's more important to eat from this than it is to eat lunch today. This will have a huge impact on you and on me. Now, I'm trying to make it as easy, as palatable as possible that you would want to participate in this. So who's in? Is anybody in? I encourage you. I want to exhort you. I want to challenge you to take up this opportunity to read through the scriptures. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I am really looking forward to preaching the first three chapters of Genesis next week. After that, I really don't have it mapped out what we're doing. But I'm looking forward. See, Beth just freaked out. I kind of have an idea, but I just like her to go, oh my gosh, he's freaking me out. But it's going to be so much fun. And I want to say, I will finish up my Bible reading for 2018 tomorrow. And this will be, I don't know how many years I've done this now, a lot of years. And I'm paid to read it. I understand that. I'm paid to understand it. But I have to personally set aside time that I'm not getting ready for a sermon and spend time with Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit as just me, as Steve. I have to come up and carve time out because I need to read his words, and I need to read it so I'm not thinking about all of you and, oh, that'll preach, and boy, that's a great insight. I have to let it speak to me. I have to let it change and transform me. And so for the last few weeks, I've been reading the book of Job. I've been reading the book of Revelation. I've been using a reading plan that I'm in four different places in the scripture each day. And guess what? I haven't been preaching on the book of Job or the book of Revelation. And I've read these books time and time and time again. And every single time I read these books, something new pops out at me. Something new, my mind just meditates on. My mind, my spirit just just thinks about and wrestles with. And many times I read it and I'm like, Steve, you're such a bonehead. What's your problem? And I'll keep reading. It goes, oh, you're a sinner. You have this bent towards self-destruction. You have this bent towards destroying those around you. You have this bent towards destroying the earth. You have this bent towards just making a mess of things. And nobody else in this world tells me that. The scriptures, though, tell me that time and time again. And not do they just tell me that. They offer a solution. Steve, you can be rescued from this. You could be made new so that that bent towards destruction isn't quite as strong as it's always been. That it can become less as you walk with the Spirit, as you keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You can be changed and transformed. And the only way I have figured out how to do that is to meditate on this book. It's the only way I've figured out how to fight that bent in me, how to continue to renew myself, to continue to be shaped and transformed by God. This may come as just shock to some of you, but I haven't been to the rack in a while. What? Why are you laughing about that? And I quit making resolutions like back in my 30s about that whole issue. And I found that if I don't be intentional with what I eat and my exercising and all this stuff, unintended consequences happen. Right? Just stuff happens. And guess what? If you're not intentional with your spiritual growth, it's not just going to happen. It's not just going to be like, boom, all of a sudden, wow, I'm super spiritually mature, right? It doesn't happen that way. You have to take initiative to grow spiritually. So I pray and hope you're with me. Check out our website. Check out YouVersion. Check out Read Scripture. If you're analog, we'll have more of these printed. We have 8 now. We can get some more even before you leave here and feed your hungry tummy. We have an exciting opportunity now to baptize a young woman who is taking an intentional, important step in her relationship with Jesus Christ. So JC Archer, go get ready, and I got to go get ready. Beth, could you play some carols? You got Knox. Knox, could you play some music for us? Run off, and I'll meet you back there at the baptistry. We're going to baptize JC. This is the, for those of you who are unfamiliar with church world, this is an ancient Christian rite. It is an ancient Christian initiation ceremony. And so JC has decided she's going to follow Christ, and she is being obedient to Jesus Christ and being baptized into him and his baptism. So Beth, play some songs. I'll hurry and change, and we'll get wet.